This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up 1 Peter with Shepherd the Flock and a Roaring Lion. Then we plow on into 2 Peter with Introduction, An Entrance into the Eternal Kingdom, and By Way of Reminder. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare thy praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. For he is the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers,
For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks
be to God. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep? Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
I appreciate it when the children are quiet. In his valedictorian chapel sermon, the seminary president noted that a favorite topic for call services was Jesus urging the disciples to pray to the Father to send workers into the harvest. James, the oldest of the four brothers of Jesus, put a speed bump on the path to the ministry that we preachers face a greater judgment than our hearers do. You will soon learn that some of your parishioners will hold to a variety of beliefs, some of which you know are dead wrong. We are not given that privilege, but false doctrines do have a positive side. Without them, we would not have Paul's epistles. In going astray, sheep do what sheep do. Shepherds who go astray face the greater judgment that is more like a military tribunal. Yes, there is a two-tiered system of justice, one for the shepherds and another for the sheep. Any second thoughts about your decision to enter the ministry is mitigated by the enthusiasm of a congregation which intuitively knows that without a pastor, they are not a church in the sense that Jesus intended. The flock for whom the great shepherd laid down his life now has a resident shepherd, and that's you. Their adulation does not mean their adulation does not mean that you will be spared from hearing hurtful things like just because you are a pastor doesn't mean that you are better than anyone else. You already know that you're not all that perfect because you are committed to Article 2 of the Augsburg Confession and the Apology. Every time we step into the pulpit, we do so with trepidation, since we are fully aware of our sins and inadequacies. But we dare not become so morbidly introspective that we do not recognize that in God's economy, by ordination, we are now fused with the apostles into the foundation on which the church is built, Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. As different as each of us is from another, we pastors constitute one ministerium. And to preserve the unity of the church, some pastors serve as bishops to prevent the rest of us from dispersing like undisciplined sheep into confusion. One of these shepherds, one of these bishops, perhaps the first, was James. By choosing the 12 and then the 70 and maybe the 500, God was already answering the prayer. By choosing the 12, the 70, and maybe the 500, the Father was already answering the prayer of Jesus to send workers into the harvest. These men were already praying the Lord's Prayer. They made the confessions of Nathanael, Philip, Andrew, Thomas, and Peter their own. Their confession was in every sense the Apostles' Creed. They believed that the entire Old Testament was about Jesus. Their seminary training was like the 3-year lectionary series. It was an unabashed theology of glory because they believed Jesus not only what he said, believed what Jesus said about himself, but for the sake of the works which he did. Jesus had done so many things that John was frustrated. Well, they used to have two preachers talking to each other. Their confession was in every sense the Apostles' Creed. They believed Jesus, that the Old Testament really spoke about him. Their seminary training was like the 3-year lectionary series. It was an unabashed theology of glory because they believed not only what Jesus said about himself, they believed him for the works he did. Jesus did so many things that John was frustrated in finding enough sheets of papyri to write everything down. Hearing that Jesus had risen from the dead was not enough. Peter and John stumbled over one another to see if the tomb was really empty, as the women said. Their preaching had nothing to do with plunging their hearers into the dark, bottomless abyss of the Deus Absconditus, which left them hanging from a thread with unsubstantiated reports. Jesus, who had eaten with them before he died, after the resurrection, was sitting next to them, and the menu was the same: fish and maybe some bread for a sandwich. As you anticipate preaching all the things that Jesus did, James waves the checkered flag that we are not to preach false doctrine, which is a death-threatening infection, a sepsis that brings death to the preacher and his people. James may have in mind pastors who see themselves as superior to others in who they were and what they knew, as did the sons of Zebedee. James put it in this way: don't look for the most conspicuous seat in the synagogue. James sounds like Jesus. No wonder he was his brother. At a formal dinner, don't look around for a seat at the table with those who can further your career. No matter where we sit at the Lord's Supper, we all consume his body and blood, which was sacrificed as an atonement for sin. As the synod and the seminary set out on one journey after another to find the perfect pastor, we might find the answer in what James says about the wisdom that comes down from above, that is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. Yes, sanctification is not optional. Justification is not the last word. And the wisdom we preach is Christ himself, who no philosopher can grasp. Laying hold of Christ as God's wisdom, you will be among those of whom James says that in their preaching, they sow in peace the harvest of righteousness. In doing this, you will know that Jesus was speaking of you when he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Your coming to the seminary was an investment with big dividends, and you will cash in on the last days. At least this is what James said. "Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Now for a simple multiple choice question. Was James speaking about Christ? Was he speaking about Stephen? Or was he speaking about you? The answer is all of the above. We rise for the Te Deum.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes and chances of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, you resist the proud and give grace to the humble. Grant us true humility after the likeness of your only Son, that we may never be arrogant and prideful and thus provoke your wrath, but in all lowliness be made partakers of the gifts of your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.